Thank you, Nairobi, and good afternoon, and glad to welcome you back after the summer break. Hope everybody had a good rest, and I'm delighted to inform you how we spent the time over the last couple of months. Just skip to slide number 3, and I hope you all have the presentation in front of you, because we might refer here or there to one of the charts. The most important news, there will be no Corona dent in 2021. On the contrary, for the first time since March 2020, we feel comfortable enough to provide you with the guidance again. We expect pre-tax profit to grow to mid to high 50s. On top of this, we see insurers rise their real estate exposure and become the number one buyers of projects. The third highlight is that we are able to present you with a new record pipeline, one with 2.5 billion volume. In summary, this gives us the second best first half year ever and even the highest net profit within the first 6 months ever. Following two successful ESG-linked capital market transactions within 1 month, we can present you with record cash of more than 400 million euros. And last, but definitely not least, we are looking optimistically into the future as UBM's expertise should be even more under demand going forward. But let me now go more into the details by turning to chart 4 of our presentation. The first guidance since the outbreak of the pandemic beats Bloomberg's EBT consensus by more than 30%. With almost 36 million in the first half, we have laid a solid foundation for the full year. Primary reason for the outperformance is the sale of several projects as they were. This means they have been sold as they are standing right now, a resi project in Vienna to Buwok, who will continue the project development and execute the construction. The same is true for Germany, where a neighbor has simply been outbidding us in Munich, which made us sell out to him. The four-year EBT average is within reach. In other words, we continue at where we have been before the start of the pandemic. What is it that makes us so confident? Well, let's have a look at chart number 5. Insurance companies have increased their real estate exposure to a record 11.5% and promised they are not going to stop there. Based on an Ernst & Young survey, the majority of insurers plan to further increase their real estate exposure. Quite frankly, I ask myself, what's their alternative? The increasing demand, which we see for the rare projects we are putting up for sale, is further fueled by the attractiveness of the German market and, most importantly, by the desperate search for ESG-capable investments. The overall economic outlook is equally bright for us. Just have a look at chart number 6. Within one quarter, GDP growth has been revised upwards in all of our markets, with the most significant increase in Austria. Austria is also the country for which the big real estate brokers are forecasting a growth in transaction volume by no less than 18% compared with last year. In Germany, they even expect to reach the 2019 transaction volume of 84 billion euros. The outlook for Central Eastern Europe stands at 10 billion euros. So the investment environment is no limiting factor. The question if these transaction volumes are actually reached only depends on the fact if sufficient projects come to the market. This brings me to our pipeline chart on slide number 7. Let me remind you once more how our pipeline quote-unquote accounting works. Every quarter, our pipeline is reduced by the total output number of the last quarter or the sales. So even keeping the pipeline stable is a challenge quarter by quarter. The pipeline is cut off after 4 years to keep ourselves honest. So the pipeline value basically equals the total output for 4 years. Having said this, UBM has managed to increase the pipeline to 2.4 billion euros. Like a hunter, we have been patiently sitting and waiting for the right moment in the right place. For us, the right moment turned out to be H1 of this year, and the right place was Munich. Besides the Willy Bogner headquarters, we were able to acquire a significant property next to the Olympiapark underground station, right next to Bavaria's biggest shopping mall and the Olympiapark recreation area. The negotiations with a group of several individuals as sellers took us 9 months. As I said, patience and discipline. By end of Q2, almost 90% of our pipeline were made up by resi and office. More than 50% of our future projects are located in Germany, almost a third in Austria, with the Czech Republic now accounting for more than 10%. The transformation is in full swing, as you can also see on chart number 8. With a 4-year pipeline, more than half is already assigned to green or smart projects, or projects which tell a story and are clearly distinguishable. Just have a look at the picks and the familiar names. Within less than 1.5 years, we have successfully reinvented ourselves. For more details and progress, follow UBM on LinkedIn or our project on LinkedIn or internet. It's worth it. We are pretty proud of it, but let's not forget one thing. It would not have worked without your support, and I mean you on the phone. Clearly, the share price development and a price target above 50, and please note this was before today's announcement, have been encouraging and are encouraging us to ruthlessly execute our strategy, green, smart, and more. With this big thank you, I would like to hand over to the master of the numbers, Patrick Tate, our CFO.
Thank you, Thomas, and a good afternoon also from my side. As Thomas mentioned, we are proud to deliver a very strong first half year. This is a base for our full year guidance of mid to high 50s. But let's now go into the details of the first half. Please turn to slide number 9. As you can see on the chart, we have increased our net profit on a year-on-year comparison by 32%, 3-2, compared to the first half in 2018. Looking just at the chart, one could forget for a second that we are living in crisis mode since Q2 2020. In the first half of 2021, the underlying EBT rose to 35.7 million euros. Comparing this to our historic performance, this is the second best half year in terms of earnings before tax. Biggest driver for the strong performance of the first half 2021 are the projects sold pre-execution in Vienna and Germany. You might wonder why our net profit is on record level and our EBT is just the second best. The tax rate was rather low with 22.9 compared to last year's H1 tax rate of 39.4 at the high end. The low tax rate was predominantly influenced by the composition of our results. Overall, we managed to confine the corona impact to an absolute minimum. Let's now turn to our balance sheet, slide number 10. Despite the improvements in our project pipeline and the recent investments we have made, we are still in a very healthy position when it comes to balance sheet, giving us the opportunity for further growth for opportunity hunting. By the end of the first 6 months in 2021, equity stood at almost 540 million euros, which translates into an equity ratio of 34.5%. Just as a reminder, we are strongly committed to our target range of 30 to 35% and continue to be on the upper end. Net debt is still very comfortable, be it in absolute terms or even more so compared with the balance sheet total. LTV is again below 30%, giving us room for growth when it comes to our debt numbers. At the end of the first two quarters, net debt stands at 450 million euros and our loan to value stands at 28.9%. Let me now turn to slide number 11, our cash position. Besides the balance sheet capacity, also our liquidity position, or the firepower, is in an excellent shape. From year end 2017 to half year 2021, our cash level increased more than fivefold to over 400 million euros. The cash position, or the cash cushion, has proven to be a sharp weapon when it comes to acquisitions. With our current cash position, we are able to guarantee transaction security, even being able to close several deals at the same time without being dependent on bank processes or timelines. We believe that especially this deal process guarantee we as UBM can offer will lead us to further opportunities in the next months. By the way, the acquisitions made in 2021, for example, the Willy Bogner headquarters or the office building next to the Olympia Park in Munich, will have a positive influence on UBM's earnings developments only in the future. On the right-hand side of the chart, you can see our new redemption profile. Timing was right for our two capital market transactions with an overall volume of 250 million euros. Hand in hand with our strategy, Green Smart and More, our transition to green financing started with these two success stories. We managed to place two sustainability-linked bonds in a short time period, one senior and one hybrid bond. With both of them, we are among the front runners for this kind of product. A precondition for this is the excellent ESG rating and the strategic shift we have started last year. As already reported last time, in terms of ESG rating, UBM is one of the best in the real estate industry, giving us some lead time in comparison to our competitors. I already mentioned that the nominal value of the two transactions was 250 million euros. What is also very important for us, we see the confidence in the new strategy by the debt markets. This can best seen by the take up of the exchange offers. 47 million euros of the old hybrid and 70 million euros of the 2017 to 2022 bond have been extended for another 5 years, helping us to further flatten the maturity profile. Especially the exchange rate of the hybrid is outstanding. Talking about 2021, there are 19.5 million euros of repayment left. This reshaped repayment profile gives us additional tailwind when it comes to further project investments and acquisitions. No financing constraints in sight. To sum it up, what could have been done has been done in the last months, and our balance sheet is in a healthy condition. Our cash position is very comfortable to look for further acquisitions. Now back to Thomas for the outlook.
Thank you, Patrick, and a big hand to the finance team. Let me come to the last slide of our formal presentation and draw your attention to many more interesting slides in the backup. Really worthwhile going through that. As mentioned at the beginning, we are able to provide you with the guidance again, despite all the existing uncertainties. Of course, what I'm saying is based on the assumption that the vaccination rates continue to grow and that we have actually and ultimately learned how to deal with Corona after more than 1.5 years. We expect EBT to grow to 55 to 60 million euros by the end of the year with a positive outlook. This is supported by the promising negotiations for more development projects being sold before we start the execution and leaving this part to others. So we will continue this route. More important, however, is our assessment of the demand for UBM's expertise going forward. First evidence shows that the existing office space, as tenancy agreements expire, appear to be outdated. In other words, this office space will find no new tenants without a fundamental refurbishment. This is even more true for other asset classes like hotels or in some cases retail space. If there is no need to tear them down entirely, which might be a rather radical approach on the environmental aspects, this space basically needs full redevelopment. Most real estate portfolio companies have very limited expertise and capacity in-house. they will have no, they will have to team up with developers like us, as you also do not find the relevant people on the market, and portfolio companies often lack the credibility to simply buy such people. On top of this, the driving force behind real estate investors is ESG, environment, social, and governance aspects. While there has been a lot of talk about sustainability and governance, reality often looks different. In this respect, UBM offers a significant advantage. We are already green, we are smart, and we are a listed company, which is always encouraging in terms of governance. Finally, the disruption of the supply chain is much more significant and much longer term than any of us has anticipated. While UBM might not have a recipe against substantially increased raw material costs, we do not depend on general contracting, and we have enough expertise in-house for fresh or entirely new approaches like timber construction or early contractor involvement. The current market environment leads to the aggravation of the situation where less and less attractive projects come to the market, making it even more of a seller's market. With our most recent track record, we have proven once again how well-positioned UBM is. This makes us look into the future with great confidence. Still, I'm certain that there are a number of interesting questions waiting for us. May I thank you for your attention and open the line for these questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchdown telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Stefan Schaaf from SRC Research GmbH. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon from Frankfurt. Stefan here. I have a couple of questions. The first is about the margins in the resi sector. You might bring up some business and some new developments in Poland and Czech Republic. And could you say a bit more here about the margins you expect in these countries compared to Germany and Austria? And the second question is, you have more than 400 million now cash in the wings, and so I expect some more transactions to follow on the purchasing side for the second half of the year. So perhaps you can give us a bit more flavor what we might expect in Germany, as you did some deals here in Munich, or what else might be interesting in Germany or other countries. And the third question is about the prices of timber and other raw materials going up in the recent quarters, and what means this for the margins of your forward sales? Will there be a lower profit then there with this deals?
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you for your question, Stefan. Let me take the first two and leave the nasty one for Patrick with the timber prices and so on. The first question was on resi margins in the Czech Republic and Poland compared to Germany and Austria. They are similar, but they are slightly higher because financing costs are higher in these two countries. Now, remember, resi has the rather lowest of the margin in the asset classes in which we are, but we see an exciting new development, which is institutional investors that are investing. So you don't have to wait for the last 10 apartments to be sold to really figure out what your margin is. You get it sold in as a parcel. So in summary, I would say it's slightly higher Okay. And it has the advantage that it doesn't bear on our balance sheet because it is always forward sold, quasi forward sold, or the majority is quasi forward sold. So let's not forget about this. And as I said, a lot of buying to rent it out by institutional investors. Number two question was, what do we have in mind for the 400 million euros that we have under our wings? Well, I'm afraid I think our treasurer already got used to having a couple of hundred millions under his wing. But of course, we need to find further projects. What I can assure you is that we are looking at more than a handful, but you know that the deal is only signed when the ink is dry underneath the contract. I think the majority will come from Germany because, after all, it is by far our biggest market, and I am pretty confident that we will also be able to keep our high resi percentage going forward, which, you know, from a risk perspective is encouraging. But I can also assure you about the investment discipline that we have kept. I think what is the most dangerous thing is that you say it's never going to be as cheap as it is today and then just go for it. And that's not what we do. We have our hurdle rates, and you know that we are very strict in selecting these projects. And the last two examples from Munich show you that they were special situations. Now to Patrick for the timber prices. Mm-hmm.
And you had the question on the timber and the material prices, Stefan, and how this might impact the margin of already forward sold projects. Well, what we are trying to achieve is always that we have a rather fixed-fix or variable-variable pairs. What do I mean with this? If it is a fixed-fix pairs, it means we have a forward sold. But on the other side, we have already fixed the general contractor and the prices, therefore, of the general contractor. So for the projects already forward sold, there is a limited impact from any changes in timber or material prices.
Okay.
Due to the fact that both are fixed.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Christoph Schulters from Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I would have actually two, if I may. The first one is if you could tell us the impact of the disposals you mentioned on your output and EBT, maybe also split into what was booked in the first quarter and the second one. If I remember correctly, I think you had in the first quarter a positive impact of 10 million euro from the project you sold in Munich. And the second question would be, it's also to do with the first one, since your positive one-off items, or since your positive one-offs from your disposal seem to become a regular item in your presentation, I wonder if you have other land or other projects on your books which are also accounted substantially below market value, and if you expect that we see also some positive or some gains in the second half of the year coming from that. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Christoph, let me take the second question first, if you don't mind, Patrick, because I really don't like the word one-off. I think what you see as we sell projects before execution, okay, that we develop more and more to a real developer. Because, you know, you could argue that to some extent we are a bit of a general contractor because we do the general contractor's work as well, you know. So I'm pretty impressed when we had this discussion at the beginning of the year that people were actually quite enthusiastically embracing this concept and said, well, finally we develop into a developer. Okay, so it's not one-off, and if you've listened carefully to what I said, we have further sales of this type in the pipeline, so that you may expect at least one, if not two, further effects from this in Q3. And I hope that we can regularly repeat this. For us, the question is just where do we make more margin, you know, and at what speed, you know. And sometimes it is by executing the project. Obviously, that always means that the absolute amount of EBT is higher, but it might take much longer to cash it in, or to actually sell the project and leave the execution to a very experienced company in this respect, like Buvok. Okay, why not? So I'm a bit sensitive when it comes to one-off because it is not one-off. Now back to Patrick for the...
Just a follow-up on that, would it be fair to say that you would prefer, given your huge pile of cash, that you would prefer now to more develop projects now, or does it not really influence your thinking about selling it before execution or developing?
Well, you know, it's a bit of a lawyer's answer. It depends. As I said, it's a real calculation where we expect, with all the, you know, uncertainties that are involved with a longer time frame, where we expect to make more money. The sheer magnitude of our cash position has nothing to do with it, because in an ideal world, we would, you know, turn it around within 12 months all the time. But it's not possible, as we know, and it's not the nature of our business, and one of our core competences is that we are also able to execute, and I've mentioned it in the outlook. This is what I mean. We can probably better handle the exploding construction raw material costs than others. We don't have a recipe against them, but if others are dependent on general contractors, they will struggle much more than us. Is that giving you the answer?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
And maybe Glenn, Patrick. The numbers. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Great.
Yeah. Let me come to the numbers, Christoph. Looking at the projects we were selling to before we get into the construction phase, as Thomas has mentioned, it, the one-offs is maybe not too good word for that. But you were right to read out in the first quarter that we had an impact from the Levelingstrasse, which was one of those. And unfortunately, there you can read out what the profit is, because I'm not a friend of telling from each and every project the profits we have made. But the 10 million, they came under fair value adjustments. They are also the reason why we have the fair value adjustment numbers still in the H1, and they are solely coming from this project, and that is the profit we made with the project. In terms of how much is the output, there is an overview on how much output is coming from overall the projects we have done, including POC and everything else, on page 29 of the backup. If you assume roughly a third of that coming from these kind of projects in the first quarter, you are good.
The first half.
In the first half. I'm sorry. The first half.
The first half. Okay. So a third, roughly a third of the
190.
What of the 194.4? Okay, great. Thanks. That answers my questions. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. Next question is from the line of Simon Stipping from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Simon speaking. Greetings from Hamburg. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I would ask them one by one. First one would be in regard to cash, your cash pile of more than 400 million. I was just wondering if there's actual, how much of that is actual liquidity, or how much of that you need to hold back, or you would like to hold back for purposes of working capital, etc.
Good question, Simon. if you look at chart number 11, where we were showing the cash position and how this has improved over the years, there is a small number at the beginning saying 75 million. That was at that point in time a number which comes very close to cash we really need and can't use for any kind of other purposes, as they are coming from PEEP payments or as we need them for working capital purposes. So that hasn't changed too much to today. So currently we are sitting on quite a lot of cash we really can use.
Okay, great. That's very clear. Thank you. Second question would be in regard to pipeline. It's a 2.4 billion record volume. Congratulations to that. I just wonder, there should be the hotels and standing assets be included. So in regard to the hotels, what would be the hotel volume in that pipeline? And then second part to the question is that then the sales volume or is that actually the at cost volume on the balance sheet?
Okay. Let me take this one. The volume that is included, because we are still planning to sell the hotels, that is included in the pipeline is roughly 300 million, okay? And it's divided roughly a third to Sugar Palace in Prague, because it's very far progressed. From the outside, it actually looks almost finished. It's the other third is Düsseldorf and Potsdam in Germany. And the last third is from the Netherlands. It is all at cost, okay? We don't revalue hotels that are not forward sold. This is also the answer why aren't there any hotels in Poland included. It is because they've been handed over now, both, okay? And so there's almost nothing, a couple of million maybe, left for the third quarter that are held back. So it's a pure at cost valuation that we have. We don't revalue assets that we do not forward sell.
Maybe let me add the balance sheet to the equation, because Thomas was talking about the impact on the hotels to the 2.4 billion pipeline calculation. In terms of balance sheet, the picture is a little bit different, as, for example, the two hotels Thomas was talking about in Poland, they are still on our balance sheet. So the balance sheet capacity we are using up for all the hotels, and remember that some of them are at equity, is currently roughly 120 million euros. This will change over time for sure as the two hotels in Poland disappear, but on the other hand, we need more balance sheet capacity for the ones under construction. And we have to bear in mind that sooner or later, probably 2022 or 2023, I have to refinance some of them as they are staying into our books as standings. So my current, I would say, conservative view on what do I need in future on the balance sheet in terms of capacity is 150 million for the remaining four, where we are hesitant and not really knowing today when we are able to sell them.
Okay, great. And a part of the balance, maybe, if I may, one just quick follow-up on that. If I turn then to the income statement and the impact, the future impact of those hotels, then I can see this form a sort of value bucket for the future coming whenever the hotel market recovers. Is that, would that assumption be right? Because of obviously you accounted it at cost, either at equity or on the balance sheet.
Simon, the honest answer is we hope you are right, okay? And this is why we are very outspoken about not being prepared to sell any of the hotel assets below asset value, you know, which is construction cost value. And it makes very little sense because, you know, exploding construction costs, inflation rate, what raw material costs, what have you, okay? It's not going to help any new projects to be any cheaper than the existing ones. You know,
sure.
So from that point of view, I think as long as you can afford it, and that doesn't go without saying, as long as you can afford to keep these assets, it is a decision that will hopefully, because we are not certain, but hopefully repay over time.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Very clear. And I have two questions, if I may, shorter ones. One would be in regard to the hybrid, that is held by POR. I know it's a small amount, but you paid so far this year 1.5 million. And I just wonder, is that possible to refinance that at one point in the future?
Mm-hmm. Let me give you some thoughts on this one, maybe. So it's currently a 25 million number, roughly, we are looking at, and the 1.5 you were mentioning is the interest we are paying on that. In our current position, as we have now printed some hybrid recently, we are in, from a balance sheet point of view, in a position that one can think about restructuring repayment also of this position. In terms of interest, we are a little bit better off with the current market price we can achieve on the hybrid compared to this one. So we have all the options on the table. And clearly, we are looking at that from the different and new view, and we'll take a decision soon which route we want to go.
Okay, great. And one last one. You said in the conference call, Herr Winkler, that the negotiations of pre-sale, meaning pre-execution, is ongoing. And obviously, you then mentioned in answering one question that this is potentially coming or for one project in Q3 21. And then I wonder, is there also some negotiation about a forward sale on the projects that are ongoing? If I assume that, for example, the NICO is ongoing in Frankfurt, is that more the project you mentioned in what you said before in regard to negotiations?
What I've mentioned, or what I had in mind at least, if I haven't mentioned it, was the Timber Pioneer. Okay.
Okay.
Now, with the Timber Pioneer, it's pretty easy because the Timber Pioneer should be more or less completed when FSZ Tower is completed. So we are talking second half, third, fourth quarter of next year. Okay. We are still figuring out the right timing on it because the Timber Pioneer is actually right in the bullseye of what the market wants. Okay, it's the first timber hybrid office building in Frankfurt. So ESG double tick. It has a prestigious neighbor because who wouldn't like to be the neighbor of Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung? Okay. Double tick. And then it is 15,000 square meters of lettable office space, or rather of lettable area. 1,000 square meters have been already leased out to a food retailer. So it's 14,000 square meters of lettable office space. And it can be multi-tenant, it can be single-tenant, and we are playing around a little bit with this one. Bottom line, I'm pretty confident, okay, that this process of selling it is going to be started rather earlier than later. But in this respect, you know, the forward sale aspect is a limited one because we are probably talking 18 months or so. And that's very important for me to mention once more. We do not change our policy despite the scarcity of attractive assets. We do not change our policy of forward selling it. We on purpose leave potential money on the table to close the risk gap between having fixed the construction price on the one hand and not knowing what we are getting on the other hand, because we don't know what happens, and that's, you know, not our business. Our business is not speculation. Our business is development. And from that point of view, nothing has changed in terms of forward sales strategy. And as we acquire a new project, it very much depends on how far we are with building permissions. But you may assume that they are all going to get forward sold. The only kind of, you know, cautionary statement that we've made is don't get overly enthusiastic because of the Willy Bogner headquarters and the Belkofenstrasse, because they are not going to be visible in the P&L, or I should rather say in the EBT this year. They are going to show up in the following years. But it's quite a comfortable feeling, to be honest, to know that we have new projects that we can book as percentage of completion profits over the course of the next 24 to 36 months.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for answering the questions.
Thank you for your questions.
Thank you. Simon.
There are no more questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Winkler for closing comments.
Thank you, Nairobi. Well, it's been a good first half year. In my message to our employees, I said if we now really, you know, go back to old days office work where we are not quiet, the likelihoods that we're close enough to 2020 and therefore the bonuses will be about where they are within realistic reach. And I think that is something we have not expected in, say, February, March of this year. We didn't even dare to expect this. I hope you liked what we've presented. Should there be any follow-up questions, Chris, Rainer, and Vasily Egert are always at your disposal, 24/7, because that's the advantage. Since they've been in home office, they are used to getting calls throughout the week and throughout hours. With this, I thank you for your attention and look forward to hearing you end of November.